This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. Have you ever heard anyone say, "God is going to write over this nation," or "God is going to write over this church"? Ichabod, Ichabod, Ichabod. You may say, what on earth does Ichabod mean? Today we're going to look at this. The real question is, as a child of God, would God ever write Ichabod over you? So far in our study on guarding the glory of God, we've talked about the importance of giving to the world a true and correct estimate or picture of who God is. We've talked about us, United States of America, being one nation under God. We are a nation that had its foundation in the Word of God, in the fear of God, the respect of God, and the trust in God. But has the glory of God departed from our nation? Has the glory of God departed from the church? We need to look at this very closely. As I was thinking about this study, I remembered a copy of a prayer that Paul Harvey read over the air in 2008. I would like to read this prayer to you and see what you think about it. It says, "Heavenly Father, we have come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, 'Woe to those who call good evil.' But that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium. We have reversed our values. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded the laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and we've called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and we've called it politics. We've coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Amen." Now we can say amen to this as well, because amen means so be it. When Paul Harvey aired this prayer, the response to that prayer was greater than any response he had ever received in his whole history of broadcasting. What does that tell us? That was in 2008. If we were to really look at our world today, and to compare it with what was taking place then, we would be shocked at how far into depravity our country, our world, has fallen in just 14 years. What was right is now wrong, and what is wrong is now right. We address people by unnatural pronouns. We allow access to our innate personal privacy to others of the opposite genders. We can no longer discern a male from a female. And we've even had those that we've elected to public office state that they can no longer define the term female. Our mothers are addressed as breastfeeders and bleeders. And our children are being taught that gender is fluid and that homosexuality is a natural option. Our classroom and school libraries offer books to children on sexual content that could easily be labeled pornography. And parents are being told that they have no right to know what is going on in their children's classroom. Parents are no longer referred to as parents, but as caretakers. We have been told by our politicians that our children are not our children, but they are their children. Our police, who have the mandate to protect and serve, are in danger of being charged for criminal acts when they attempt to keep us safe. When our country is being overrun by illegal immigrants who have been given every benefit, health care, educational monies, housing, and financial support, and our own people are suffering from the burden of housing, providing, and caring for those crossing our borders illegally. In the news this week, we were told that the United States is suffering from a severe shortage of baby formula. Mothers are having to go to store after store or to travel miles to other cities to find formulas for their infants. While we were shown shelves and shelves of baby formula stockpiled at the border for those that are crossing into our country from other countries illegally. When asked, the president's press secretary stated that we have a moral obligation to provide food and formula to those in need that are coming into our country. What about those that live in our country? Don't we have rights? And doesn't the government have a legal and moral obligation to take care of its own citizens? I live in California, and our politicians are currently in the process of moving a bill through committees to allow a woman to have an abortion up to the point of and during birth, and even to the extent of allowing the death of an infant after the child has been born. That is plain and outright murder. My husband and I were discussing this, and I brought up the fact that there are multiple organizations that the government endorses that stand up to prevent abuse to animals, and some of them are quite militant about it. Where are those in government that stand to protect human life of our unborn children? What would Paul Harvey think about the United States today? What do we think of our country today? Where are the values, the morals, and the standards that our nation was founded upon? There is a segment, a growing segment, in our nation that is concerned with what is taking place, a segment that wants us to remain one nation under God, a segment that is turning back to God, wanting the blessing of God over our nation and to our people, and a nation that wants the protection of God, a nation that has the protection of God because it continues to glorify God. I want us to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 4. What we found in this chapter was a high priest of Israel, the Kohen HaGadol, sitting down on his seat, waiting for word about his son. You see, Israel had gone to battle with the Philistines, and they were not doing well. They had suffered immense loss of life among their soldiers, and they had lost the first battle. Because of their impending total defeat, his sons, Eli's sons, had decided that they would travel back to Shiloh, where the Mishkan, or the tabernacle, was located, and bring the Ark of the Covenant from within the Holy of Holies to the battlefield. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord God, is that representation of the very throne of God among his people. They thought that the God who had protected them and provided for them in the past, which included their victory over every enemy and army that they had encountered, would come to their rescue and overcome their enemy for them. After all, if we take the Ark of God that has a pillar of cloud over it during the day, the Shekinah, the glory of God, and the pillar of fire over it at night, if we take that into battle, God is going with us. And obviously, if God goes with us into battle, we will be victorious. Well, just because the Ark is there, that doesn't mean that you're going to win the battle. Or is there something that goes, in essence, with the glory of God? Can we live just any way we want to live and say, listen, I bear the name of Christian, a believer. We are a Christian nation. God is on our team. We're going to win this battle. Oh, are we going to win if we do not guard the glory of God? Eli was sitting beside the road on his chair, awaiting the news. His eyes were set on the road before him. Now, remember, he's 98 years old and basically blind. He can't see what's going on. But he does hear the commotion coming from the city. A man from the tribe of Benjamin has torn his clothes, thrown dust on his head, and run to bring the news from the battlefield. Eli is sitting there, and his heart is trembling. His heart is trembling not because of his sons, but because the Ark of the Covenant. I want to read what the Word says in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the noise of this commotion mean?" Then the man came hurriedly and told Eli. Now, Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were set so that he could not see. The man said to Eli, "I am the one who came from the battle line. Indeed, I escaped from the battle line today." And he said, "How did things go, my son?" Then the one who brought the news replied, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. And your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, has been taken." When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell off the seat. He fell backwards beside the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for he was old and heavy. Thus he judged Israel 40 years. That last phrase, thus he judged Israel for 40 years, is a very important phrase. I want us to look at some statements that should jump out at us as we read these verses. Thus he judged Israel for 40 years. Note that the period of time was 40 years. Then the young boy that he had been raising, the firstborn son of Hannah and Elkanah, this young boy, Samuel, is going to be the next judge. We are told later in chapter 7, verses 15 through 17, that the boy Samuel grew up and became the judge over Israel. Now, Samuel is still a young man at this point in the story, but he's about to take over. Why? Eli has died. Hophni has died, and Phinehas has died. Now we're going to find out the meaning of Ichabod. Let's read on in verse 19 of chapter 4. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was pregnant and about to give birth. And when she heard the news that the Ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband had died, she kneeled down and gave birth, for her pains came upon her. All of a sudden, this shocking news. The Ark of God had been taken. Your husband has died. Your father-in-law has died. All of a sudden, she's in labor. She kneels down and she gives birth. And it then goes on to say in verse 20, and about at that time of her death, The women who stood by her said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." But she did not answer or pay any attention. She's about to die, and these women are saying, "Don't be afraid, you've given birth to a son." It's because in the Jewish culture, it meant that even if the father had died, the name of the family would continue, and the possessions of the family would continue. But it's not the death of her husband that's bringing her to the brink of death. It's the loss of the Ark of the Covenant. Why would I say this? Let's read on in verses 21 and 22. "And she called the boy Ichabod, saying, 'The glory has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband,' she said, 'The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God was taken.'" Ichabod, meaning without honor. The glory has departed. How awful that God's glory would leave those people. That's what Phinehas' wife, Eli's daughter-in-law, named her son. Can you imagine? Every place that he walked, every place that he went, people would be saying, "Ichabod, Ichabod, come here. Ichabod, Ichabod, where are you going? Ichabod, Ichabod, what do you think?" Ichabod, the glory of God has departed. It was a reminder to the people of what had happened because they did not honor God as God. They thought, "You know what? We have the Ark of the Covenant. We have it made." And they forgot what the Ark of the Covenant represented. It represented a holy, righteous God. A God that cannot overlook sin. A God that has to deal with sin. God is not like a lucky rabbit's foot that you can pull out of your pocket and just rub with your hand. God does not work that way. You and I are responsible to guard the glory of God. Believers, Eli did not do that. Hophni and Phinehas did not do that. Are we doing that today? We need to pay special attention to the word glory in these verses. Remember, Eli's daughter-in-law is dying. She's named her son. She called the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because the Ark of God was taken and because of her father-in-law and her husband." What I want us to see in this verse is that the Ark of God is connected to the glory of God. Over the Ark of God, there was a cloud during the day. We call it the Shekinah glory. And there was a pillar of fire by night. The author repeats this twice in these two verses. God does not want you to miss it. He repeats it so that we will remember it even more. The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God is taken. Now, what I want us to do is to explore the Ark of God and the glory of God. Let's look at the book of Exodus, or Shemot, chapter 40, verses 32 through 34. We need to keep in mind that the book of Exodus is about the Hebrews coming out of bondage from Egypt, going into the wilderness to Mount Sinai, meeting with God at Mount Sinai, receiving the commandments from God. They were also instructed how to build the furniture for the tent of meeting. All the furniture has been made, and all the furniture is being put in place. The verse reads, "When they entered the tent of meeting, and when they approached the altar, they washed, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He erected the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and hung up the veil for the gateway of the court. Thus Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory of God filled the tabernacle. This was demonstrated by a cloud that covered the tent of meeting. We read in the next verse that Moshe, or Moses, was not able to enter the tabernacle. Why? Verse 35 tells us, Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, wherever and whenever the cloud was taken from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. When they saw the cloud, they saw it moving, they said, "It's time to break camp, pack up, and move out." But if the cloud was not taken up, then they would stay put until the day that it was taken up. They knew that God was leading them someplace. It was not Ichabod. The glory of God had not left them. It was leading them and protecting them. It was a sign that God was near. It had not departed from them. The glory of God was leading them. And that is what you and I want. Shemot 40 verse 38 states, "For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel." Fellow believers, we do not want Ichabod written over our nation. We do not want the glory of God to depart from the United States. We do not want the glory of God to depart from our churches, our families, or from our very lives. We want to follow the glory of God. The glory of God leads us into righteousness. It shows us how to live our lives, displaying that very glory to a dead and dying world, a world that has no longer seeking God or His righteousness, which is His right way of living. Ephesians 6, 12 through 13 tells us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." We are called to be different, called to be followers of Messiah, to resist in the evil day, and to stand firm. Are we making a difference? Are we a voice for those who have no voice? We were created to show the world an appropriate example of who God is and how, as believers, we are to live, set apart, consecrated for His glory. Our hope, our trust in the Lord is that one day He will say over us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." May we never hear Him proclaim Ichabod over our nation, our families, our children, our home, or our churches. And as Ephesians tells us, take up the full armor of God, so that we can resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Thank you for joining me today. Looking forward to talking to you next time.
Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, secTIM.org. May this day feel fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.